Hello, my name is Nick Spacek, and you're listening to From and Inspired By, a podcast about soundtracks and the people who make them. On this episode, we're talking with Larry Juris about his work on the 80s horror anthology, Dead Time Stories. In addition to his work on Dead Time Stories, Mr. Juris' production company did work in dubbing for many anime series, including the majority of the episodes, for Pokemon. We talked with Mr. Juris about all of that and more.
Houses and huts were despoiled. The wolf huffed and puffed till the pigs cried enough. How can this wicked monster be foiled? Two piggies were eaten before he was beaten. Down the chimney the wolf was hard-boiled. It's no wonder why I turned out like I did, remembering my bedtime tales as a kid. It's no wonder why I turned out like I did, remembering my bedtime tales as a kid.
So I figured we'd start off by talking about Dead Time Stories and then work our way into some of your other work.
Sure.
Wonderful. Was it exciting for Dead Time Stories to finally get like a proper release, like almost 30 years later?
It was outrageous, actually. It was, you know, from left field. What else can I say? But yeah, it was shocking, to put it mildly.
So were you just contacted sort of out of the blue by Ryan?
No, well, you know, actually, I had many aspects to the company I owned at the time. And one of them was voice dubbing, which was totally by accident. I wound up doing the show Pokemon for many, I think the first six seasons, and the movies as well. And I also did them for seasons 8 through 10. Only because of politics did I have any difficulties. But there were many aspects of my business, so, you know, I was just ready to... I did a lot of different things, and I was always ready to take on something new. And this was certainly something new at the time.
And, like, when you say that it was something new, does this mean that you had never, like, done, like, full scoring for films?
No, not at all. What was new was, like, a genre... the film was very unique in the sense that it wasn't just horror. There were, you know, some comedy moments, and it required a lot of different music, so it really was able to stretch my skills.
That's what I found really intriguing, was because there's the sort of standard like genre specific like horror stuff, but there's also very upbeat things and there's some goofy things, and then you've got some pop songs in there as well.
Absolutely, which was what made it so much fun. It was like not. Because I had been involved in quite a few other horror films scoring that were straight horror films. But this one had a whole sense to it. And it was very exciting, actually, at one point, driving in the car with my family up towards Scarsdale and seeing it in a theater marquee, you know, and going in and watching it. So
how did you write like those pop songs, like specifically like the sort of titular songs that you did with Jeffrey Delman?
Well, I normally will write music to lyrics. That's I have been in business for many years, over 30 years, and I'm normally being that I'm either doing film or TV many of the times I'm given lyric and I have to write songs for a specific thing. And I found the lyric on that particular song excellent. You know, I was very impressed with it, and maybe it was just inspiring, but it was really good. You know, I thought, like, I mean, for what its purpose was, I'm not saying this is a work of art or a masterpiece, but for a title song of a horror film of this kind of genre, I thought it was a great, you know, it was comical, and it really was true. So I was very, very happy. I was happy to be involved in the whole project.
I'm an absolute sucker for any song that sort of tells the plot of the film. Like, those are some of my favorites.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this one.
I certainly did. It seems very appropriate that, like, Ed Times Stories, as a work of music, came out almost contemporaneously with the movie being re-released on Blu-ray.
Absolutely. Totally faithful.
Were you involved with the film re-release in any capacity?
The record, the soundtrack, the man who released the soundtrack did want to release the Blu-ray rights, but that was taken up. That was a separate deal. So I was really out of it. It was just a pure, at least to the best of my knowledge, because I'm really out of the Blu-ray release. It is a pure coincidence.
Everybody rediscovering the movie and the music at the same time, I suppose.
Well, oddly enough, it had been quite a few times. It had been downloaded on from YouTube, the theme itself.
Mm-hmm.
Unbeknownst to me, until I started getting involved in it and reading the comments, and I had no idea. I had no idea that it was anything. I thought it was put to bed, as everything else I did, you know, eventually had its lifespan and was over. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at this with current comments, you know, it was great for my family to see it, especially.
So...
that they... Yeah.
So what was sort of the process? Had these tapes been sitting in a closet somewhere?
Oh, my God. To recover. Evidently, see, I was involved. There are many facets to my business. And one of them was, like I said, I did voice dubbing. I did it for Pokemon. I did it for quite a few anime films. My company's name was TAJ, Taj Productions, which is actually my... late father's initials and my eldest daughter's initials. And so there were many, many different facets to the industry, to my business. And it became, you know, jumping from one spot to another, to another, to another. And ultimately, business just sort of wound down, and I got old enough to retire, and I just do freelance now. Interesting, I haven't answered your question. What was your question?
So where were the tapes for all of this?
Oh, that's exactly. I apologize.
Oh no, it's clear.
It seems that the reason I started talking about my company sort of closing is all the companies were closed, were out of business. And through the perseverance of the film's director and me on his case, we found them in a laboratory in California, perfectly preserved, temperature preserved. And it took about 3 or 4 months, but everything, every item of that film, every piece was perfect. As unbelievable as it may sound.
That exact opposite of a lot of folks I've talked to who have had their film scores reissued in recent years. Like, so many of them, it's like, you know, they find them in a closet or in a basement or worse, right, like in a garage or an attic, and there's this restoration process involved.
Well, fortunately, this film had made its money. It made some money box office wise, so I guess it warranted the storage, the proper storage. It wasn't one of those films that sort of went either way. And it was perfect. The record company, Ryan, I don't know if you know Ryan,
mm-hmm.
But he said to me, like, wow, this stuff is mind-blowing. The quality is perfect. And it was absolutely amazingly, coincidentally, on all counts, perfect.
That's wonderful.
I want to be the very best, like no one ever was. To catch them is my real test, to train them is my cause. I will travel across the land, searching far and wide. Each Pokemon to understand the power that's inside.
Pokemon, gotta catch 'em all.
It's you and me. I know it's my destiny.
No, I would you've mentioned it a couple times, and I would be totally remiss if, for my listeners, if I didn't ask you about your involvement in Pokemon, because I know that you were involved for so long, for such the duration of that series, as well as on all four of the movies. How did you come to be involved in the dubbing of all of those many, many episodes?
Okay, well, I don't want to take too much of your time, but basically the story was, as my music company developed, I had sent some music over to a Japanese company with offices in Los Angeles of some tunes I had written that were appropriate for some upcoming series they may have. And they liked them very much, and they called me, and they asked me if I do dubbing. And at the time, dubbing meant tape-to-tape copy. So I said, of course, Yoshi, this is no problem. And he gave me the name of the company to call, and I called. And unbeknownst to me, during the conversation, I found out what they meant was, did I do voice dubbing? But as a businessman, I know that the true way to a successful business is hiring employees that know what they're smarter than you. You know, the idea is keep them under control, but each one of them has their specialty and knows their business. So I got very involved in dubbing while I was doing music. It was just a simultaneous project. I had two studios going all the time on all my projects. And Pokemon approached me as dubbing because I had developed a reputation as anime. Pokemon was a Japanese product, as an anime, not expert, but I would say one of the larger anime dubbing companies in New York City. So we developed Pokemon from cast. We helped cast the show. We dubbed the show. We took the scripts. We adapted the scripts to English, so the lips would look like it was in English. And due to politics, I lost it for 2 years due to politics, and then I did it for 2 years, Pokemon hired me back, and then I lost it from then on due to politics. But that was my involvement. So I was doing really all of the post-production while I had a music company doing television music for USA Network or jingles or film, whether it be horror or western. I would also be doing dubbing on the other end. And then the whole industry really did collapse. Whatever was left on anime, the companies all closed up in New York offices, and whatever little is done in Los Angeles.
I'm just realizing you doing all of this work, doing a lot of work for USA and Pokemon and Dead Time Stories, you've done a lot of work for my childhood.
Yes, I have. I have. I guarantee you, you have seen my show openings on USA. You know, you've seen them all, commercials. But, you know, listen, no complaints.
So what are some of the things that you did for USA?
Oh, God. Well, I did USA Network when they were an independent station. Not when it was one of the conglomerates, you know, how like three or four companies own 100 stations. USA Network was an individual station owned by, it was privately held, ran by a woman named Kay Koplovitz. I did all of their on-air promos, all of their ID network logos, whenever you see, this is your, you know, you are watching USA Network. America's All Entertainment Network. For many years I did that. I did shows like Night Flight. I did shows like Captain Commander USA. I'd actually have to go back. It's been so a while. And go on my resume and call you back at, or email it to you, the resume, which lists quite a bit of their shows. Because I did quite a bit of their internal openings. They didn't have much. They were not owned by a huge conglomerate. They were an upstart station, and they were great to work with.
Mr. Juris, thank you so much for spending time out of your evening to talk to me. This has been wonderful.
This is my greatest pleasure. You call me anytime you want.
Thanks to Larry Juris for talking with me and for Ryan at TerrorVision Records for putting us in contact. Dead Time Stories was released on Blu-ray earlier this year from Scream Factory, and the Larry Juris score will soon be available from TerrorVision on vinyl after some pressing plant delays. You can find links to purchase both in the show notes for this episode, which can be found at fromandinspiredby.com. We're on Facebook and Twitter at FromInspiredPod, and you can find TerrorVision at Terror_Vision on Twitter or at Terror-Vision.com. You can subscribe to us via iTunes as well. Please head up the website and click on the Give Us Money button to help pay for web hosting and long distance fees, and remember to leave us a review on iTunes. We'll be back next week with a new installment of From the Stereo to Your Screen, talking about the music video for Digital Underground's Same Song from the movie Nothing But Trouble. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Deadly forest, all the way to Grandma's house. Horror is back in style.
I'm gonna make this very painful.
Now, it's time to say your prayers. When darkness comes, it will be too late, because all your nightmares come to life. Stories.